about
what do I do?
Well, there's only one thing I can think of. We used to do it back on the farm, and I may be a little rusty, but I guess it's worth a shot.
Whatever it is, do it. I'm desperate.
Okay. Here goes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Farm fresh butt nuggets for sale at your mom's house.
100 days in office, so many accomplishments, lowered my golf handicap, my Twitter following increased by 700, and finally, we can shoot hibernating bears. My boys will love that.
Sir, here's a new bill that you must read immediately. It lowers taxes for only Republicans.
Can't Fox News read it, and I'll watch what they say?
No, you haven't.
100 days, we are 6.8% of the way home. Paid for by anybody else, 2020.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wake up, I need to make money.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hello.
Roll another one.
Look, because, look.
Just like the other.
This was locker room talk.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Quitters never give up.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
I don't eat nuts.
Roll.
Quiet, quiet.
Just like the other one.
I feel so wrong.
This one seems to be about to end.
That did not feel sincere.
I don't have another cent.
Sometimes it comes off as condescending. What does condescending mean?
I'm not happy with the farting.
Just pass it around.
Just got finished having sex with my wife, and she whispered in my ear, that was a success.
Our feature presentation.
That's a beautiful story.
It really is.
Right? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 28th of April.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the weekend.
Yes.
Almost. I hear it's super, super windy out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like dangerous windy? Trouble driving windy? That windy?
No, I don't think
maybe if you're in a big rig.
Right, not too bad.
Going up the Grapevine.
That's what I drive to work usually. So.
I know.
Yeah, I have to be very careful.
Holly, you just made going up the Grapevine sound very dirty.
Thank you.
How you did that. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Friday morning. We do have a lot of good stuff. Had several complaints on the social media yesterday that we got off to a rough start yesterday. And part of that was my fault, not remembering the date. But they asked if we were drunk, and I don't recall. I don't think we were drunk yesterday, were we?
Here's the thing. Chip was.
Chip was, right?
Here's the thing. I slur a lot when I'm not drunk,
uh-huh.
And I mistake words all the time.
Yeah.
So why not? I mean, why not just start?
Oh, so just drink.
I mean, I might as well.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, I'm going to do my best to keep my side of the street up. I'm not sure how you do that. All right. So maybe Monday will be the day where everything goes smooth then.
Take two.
There are a lot of music festivals these days, more than any human, even if you did nothing else but attend music festivals, you couldn't go to all of them. Right. Doesn't it seem like every week there's another one?
Yes.
I mean, there's obviously there's Coachella, and there's South by Southwest, and there's Bonnaroo, and there's Lollapalooza, and there's Outside Lands, and then you get into all of the, you know, the European festivals, and there's so many of those. Well, there's a new one that popped up this year. It's brand new. It's first year ever, right, Allie? Mm-hmm. This Fyre Festival?
Yep.
And it is like nothing I've ever seen before. First of all, the festival, had it gone perfectly, would not have been a great festival, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, it's in the Bahamas, which is awesome. And it did have a couple of acts that you might be interested in seeing, like Blink 182.
Wow.
And Major Lazer and Disclosure. Like, great stuff. What's Migos.
What's the downside?
Well, because, I mean, there weren't that many acts compared to so many other festivals. It's a smallish festival.
Okay.
And the other thing is, it's super expensive. Like, the cheapest tickets are like $2,000 to go.
Yeah. What?
Up to $12,000 for tickets. And they had all sorts of, it's in the Bahamas, as I mentioned. They have all sorts of different tiers, including some packages, by the way, that also included your airfare and your hotel. And those were like $200,000. Yeah. I mean,
these are like luxury cabanas. And like the worst stuff was glamping. So those tents with the beds in it, like super luxury.
But if I'm paying $2,000, I want to sing with the band.
Yes.
right. It's a lot, right?
Yeah. Right.
So all of this was promised, and I don't know how well it sold, but it seemed like a lot of people attempted to make it to the island until service to the island was cut off because it was full. And they started canceling flights left and right from Miami and would no longer let anyone into the Bahamas.
Right.
Okay, so that may have been a problem. And by the way, the other problem is that I don't know anything about Ja Rule as a festival organizer. Doesn't seem like he has much experience doing this.
Yeah, what they did is they had a lot of like name people, like social media influencers,
right,
and Instagram models.
Right.
I'm doing the air quotes. Uh-huh. Start tweeting about this. Start posting things.
Kendall
like,
Jenner,
oh,
Bella Hadid, Emily Ratajkowski. Those are the types of people that they
kind of
got on
board. This lineup is lit. Can't wait to see you in the Bahamas. And people are like, oh my god, all these people I look up to because I'm pathetic are going. Let me put down money.
All right, so people show up. Those
that might have been a judgment.
No.
People show up, those that can get to the Bahamas, and the festival grounds are in no way ready to host a festival.
All right.
How would you describe it, Allie? I mean, it looks like FEMA after an earthquake.
Well, those luxury cabanas and glamping tents are disaster relief tents.
Oh, no.
And the catered meals that were going to be done by these famous chefs.
Right.
Two pieces of white bread and two slices of cheese.
Right.
Cheese people sandwiches. Were literally taking pictures. They're like, this is the catered meal. And they're sitting under tents on like aluminum chairs eating
this. I think all of this may have been fine if the cost of it was, you know, $9.
No,
instead this of $2,000.
This would have been a terrible festival for $100, Kevin.
Yeah, it looks awful.
And of course, Blink, I didn't know about this until Blink 182 pulled out of it, by the way. They got cold feet wisely and said, look, we're just not going to be able to put on the quality of the show that we want to put on for our fans if we go to this thing, so we're pulling out. And then other acts have pulled out since then. So even if you were lucky enough to make it, you're getting half the festival. But then it just, I think, Allie, you described it as it turned into Lord of the Flies at one point.
Yeah,
because
it's insane.
People were getting separated from their luggage, getting separated from their other people, being moved around by security.
Things then stolen from their tents.
Yes.
They want to make safety circles because nobody feels safe down there.
Wow.
Then fires started breaking out, Kevin.
All right.
And then people started getting robbed. And I'm terrified that people are going to die at this thing. I mean, it really does look.
Is it still going on?
It's
yesterday
dangerous.
Was supposed to be the first night of it. Mm-hmm. It's two weekends.
Yeah,
wow.
They haven't canceled it yet. But I can't see how it's not canceled.
Yeah, I read, and I don't know if it's true, but the U.S. Embassy was stepping in, like, to help people there?
Yeah.
That seems bad.
That's a lot.
You know, on paper, you go, I can't believe I have tickets to go to the Bahamas to go to this awesome music festival. Dude. Next thing you know, you're lucky to get out of there alive.
No phone, no wallet.
So whatever complaints you have when you go to U.S. festivals or some of the better-known festivals, you're having a better time than these people going to the Fire Festival. And if you got some time today and you want to do yourself a favor and really feel good about whatever you're doing this weekend, go over to the Reddit group for Fire Festival. It's FYRE, and read some of the posts that people have put up there because it's insane. We were lucky to dodge this one, you guys.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeMicho, shall we?
This is a professional organization. What do you think we are?
Oof.
I don't know that I'd go professional. I'd say we're still in the minors.
Well, I'm keeping my side of the street up.
Sure. We're going to check in with Kevin and me listener, Nick, because Amber Heard is now with Elon Musk.
Right.
Did Nick get passed over again? I thought it was his turn.
I thought
he called dibs.
I don't think dibs is a thing that you do with relationships.
Oh, I see.
Right. So we're going to talk to him and catch up and just make sure that he's, you know, alive.
Mm-hmm.
We have some... documentarians?
Yes.
Is that the right word?
Yes.
Daniel Lindsay and TJ Martin have done a documentary called LA 92
Because tomorrow is the 25th anniversary of the riots in 1992, and it's a great movie.
It's unbelievably well done.
Yeah. So we're very excited about that.
These guys are Oscar winners, by the way. They got no business being on our show.
No, it's going to be weird.
We have a movie beat because it is Friday. We have Yella Van Damme from the LA Galaxy, their captain, and we've got your tickets for Disneyland and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 as well. You get to see it early. That's coming up this morning on K-Rock. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017, Saturday, May 20th, StubHub Center. Tickets going on sale to the general public. That's everyone who hasn't already been a street team member and bought their tickets already. That's at noon today. There are just a few tickets left. We hope you'll get them, and we hope you join us because it's going to be a great, great show. Details at KRock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
I think general public's in negotiations with North Korea right now. It's kind of a touchy situation over there.
I don't...
We wish him our best. Godspeed, General. Salute! You guys don't care about world events, do you? Nope.
I care very much about the major, major event that's going to happen with North Korea.
It'll be a major, major conflict between us and North Korea.
I don't love that.
Hey, Donald, a little less. Why don't you just calm down a little bit, back off of the major, major conflict threats.
Now, can
with the weapons and the nukes and the things and the bombs and the blowing of the dying.
They can hit our aircraft carrier, the Vinson. They can hit Japan. Can they hit Hawaii from where they are in North Korea?
I do not believe so.
Okay, not yet.
Well, as far as we know. We don't know what's in the big green tubes.
Right. Oh.
Right?
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's why General Public's there.
He's a good man.
Protecting
they
our
put
interests.
On a great show. Where's the tenderness, Ralph? Come on.
Hey, listen up. Tonight, 10 p.m., I'm dragging my ass out of bed, and I'm taking it to the Improv on Melrose. Me and Kevin Smith are going to take the stage. We're going to crush some Hollywood Babylon for you.
No.
So come on out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for Hollywood Babylon tonight.
Absolutely not.
Speaking of tickets, Absinthe is coming to LA Live in May. It's going on until May 28th. And it's going to be K-Rock night at the Absinthe show at LA Live on May 12th. That means DJ Omar Khan will be spinning before the show. K-Rock listeners will get a 15% discount off all their tickets for May 12th if you go to absinthela.com/K-Rock. Or if you'd like to win some tickets to this hilarious, sexy, breathtaking mixture of burlesque, acrobatics, comedy, you can give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that number. You can get Beer Mug on the phone. You're going to win a pair of tickets. First five who get through. 1-800-520-1067. Call now.
Show's a good time.
Kevin saw Absinthe in Vegas, where it's been a smash hit for some time, and he really enjoyed it.
I don't go to shows a lot in Vegas because gambling and drinking.
Sure.
But this pretty much has all of that involved as well.
Excellent.
You get to gamble and drink in this show also? That's nuts.
Maybe the gambling is on the side.
Do you get to drink in this show also?
I mean, you get to drink, sure.
Oh, okay. The show's
about. Let's all have sex.
It's about gambling and drinking and having sex.
You know what it's about, Ralph. Come on now.
Did you have a bit of a challenge getting into the parking lot this morning, Kevin?
Yeah, I did.
I had to stop. I had to stop and turn and watch. Because it was fascinating. It was like taking a rat and putting him in the maze.
Right.
And saying, okay, let's put the cheese on this end and let's see what happens. Let's see if Algernon can reach the other side of the maze.
Yeah.
And you seemed to have a little bit of a struggle. There was a bit of a hang up, a bit of a hiccup.
Because I told Dave the King of Mexico that I needed a new key card.
Right.
That I lost it. And that was like 3 days ago and he's not giving me one.
It's Dave's fault. No,
it's Dave's fault that I don't have one now.
Uh-huh.
But having said that, Chip, take it from there.
So he called today, and I knew the gate was broken.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll go out there. I just left it.
No one came out. So, well, the entire other side, Kevin, of the gate was propped open so that people could get in because obviously the gate was not opening in the entrance.
The exit gate, yes.
Yes, the exit gate was propped open visibly. And as I pulled up this morning, I went, oh, this gate must be broken because they propped this one open, the exit gate, so I just drove through the exit gate.
And here's what's funnier is that usually I pull over to the left side, to the exit gate side, so whoever comes in next, I can follow them in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I was literally,
6 feet from the open gate. Like, I was in that actual space.
Right? Mm. And it didn't dawn on you, look at all the space in front of me to get into the parking lot.
No, I just assumed that it was safe.
And you just stayed there?
I sat there for a while.
I know, because I stopped at the door and I watched. I said, well, he'll get this in a couple seconds. He'll get this in 30 seconds. He'll get. I was like, I can't wait anymore. I got things to do.
It's probably
I can't
about a,
stand here any longer.
It's probably about a minute or more, maybe.
Or more.
Maybe.
I
or
saw
more,
Surfer J when I got in, and he said, so you figured out the gate? And I said, the real test is Kevin. I mean, really. We're all going to be fine. Sweet spirit.
Some good times.
What is happening?
But
right?
There's like three other places where you need the card key, and Chip just didn't send anyone out. She's like, F you.
How long did it take you to figure the gate out?
Yeah. Well, it took me a while.
It's good times.
Well, I'm not bright in my own defense.
That's quite a defense you got there. I might get a new lawyer
so
if I were
I'm
you.
I'm going to need Kevin to step it up and stop being so dumb so it's more believable and doesn't sound so fake. So can you be better and less of whatever it is that you are?
If I could, I would.
Wow.
Hey, speaking of bright people, Cash Me Outside. How about that? He's back in the news.
Catch me outside. How about that?
She is facing charges of theft and filing a false police report this week in Delray Beach, Florida, her hometown. She pled not guilty in a courtroom this week. Apparently, the 15-year-old isn't too worried about a potential felony conviction and just laughed it off when reporters asked her about this case. So we'll keep you posted as...
You got a problem, lady.
She makes her way through the justice system down there in Florida.
Glad she lives in Florida, by the way.
Where else would she live, really?
Right.
When you think about her. Doesn't she totally. Have... She just had Florida tattooed on her forehead.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Can you imagine working in the criminal justice system in Florida?
Oh, my God.
No. As a judge or as a defense attorney, what you would have to deal with on the reg, as they say, day in and day out.
I don't think you do that job for very long.
That would just
be
crush, right? It would crush your belief in humanity as a species. You'd say, you know what? Just bring on the meteor or whatever's going to take us out because we deserve it. Stunning. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jay Leno. Kids, there was a time when this Leno I speak of was the host of The Tonight Show.
The Tonight Show has always been Jimmy Fallon.
No, this guy had it before him, 67 years old today. Too Short is 51. Violent J of the Insane Clown Posse is 45. Jorge Garcia is 44 years old. Remember him from Lost, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Or Jose Garcia, as right, some people Jose. Refer to him. Penelope Cruz is 43. Jessica Alba is 36 years old today. Jenna Ushkowitz of Glee fame is 31. And Bridget Moynihan, the actress, celebrates her 47th birthday. I'm trying to remember who knocked her up and then abandoned her. I cannot remember for the life of me.
They just walked out on the whole family, right?
Who was that? Got her pregnant, then walked away from her. It's right on the tip of my tongue, and I can't.
They weren't together anymore.
For the life of me. Well, they were apparently together enough for baby making.
Yeah, a lot of people do that,
Ralph. That's all I'm saying.
A lot of people do that.
Well.
A lot of people.
Maybe he should have deflated his penis before the game. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next hour, your chance to win tickets to go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, K-Rock Advance screening before it opens up next Friday. Speaking of movies, hey, Ralph is here, you guys. Time for the movie beat. Hit it.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It's official. Hollywood has surrendered to the fate of the furious. They're just laying down this weekend.
Just gave up?
They're saying, just go ahead. We'll just let you just go. And when you're done, we'll get back to business as soon as you're finished being all powerful. Just a couple films out this weekend. Both smaller in nature, but certainly got a lot of star power behind them. Here's a new comedy out called How to Be a Latin Lover, directed by Ken Marino. We love Ken Marino.
We do.
Stars Eugenio Derbez, Salma Hayek, Rob Lowe, and Kristen Bell.
It's a great cast.
Yeah. Man finds himself dumped after 25 years of marriage, and he's got to move in with his estranged sister. And he learns the value of family. So it's an important lesson to be had about life and love, as well as hilarity ensuing. Here are some clips from the trailer of How to Be a Latin Lover.
I am on these horse testosterone pills. They make me a little bit agitated.
I will shoot you!
You're not shooting anybody.
I will shoot you in the Lorax!
You're not attracted to me?
Whoa, no, stop. No. I'm attracted to, like, really good-looking guys. Guys with, like, great faces and great bodies who are muscular and handsome and younger, much younger than you. And tall, a lot taller.
Feel your sexiness, because you know what all the ladies are thinking.
What are the ladies thinking?
You must be great in bed.
I'm great in bed.
What?
I don't pee or anything anymore.
You are all going to die tonight.
I don't think, it doesn't sound like a scary movie, Kevin.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think anyone's dying.
That
dying
Ken
with
Reno.
Laughter, maybe.
Hey. Ken Reno is funny in everything, by the way.
Agreed.
Yes. And also out this weekend is The Circle. Emma Watson, Tom Hanks, John Boyega. Right?
Yeah. Right?
How often do you see Tom Hanks as a bad guy, as a scary dude? Not that often, but he's good when he does it. I find it refreshing.
Yeah.
This movie stars Emma Watson as a woman who lands her dream job at a powerful tech company called The Circle, only to discover that underneath its glitzy, slick surface, bad stuff is going on that affects the life of her, her friends, her family, and maybe, oh, just maybe, humanity? You heard me.
Not because you yelled.
Yeah, that's right. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Circle.
How would you describe what the circle is to, say, your grandmother?
It's the chaos of the web made elegant.
The possibilities are endless. At the circle, there isn't a problem that we cannot solve without secrets, without the hoarding of knowledge and information.
The circle has the power to change everything.
It's only our lies that get us in trouble. Things we hide.
We care about everybody you care about.
Because knowing is good, but knowing everything is better.
Ah! Ah! And that's why Allie puts duct tape on the camera of her laptop.
Thank you.
Because of The Circle.
That's correct.
Because
you.
Tom Hanks is probably watching.
It's real.
With his pants around his ankles.
Wait, I'm right? Taking it off if that's true.
So, those are your choices this weekend. What are you going to go see?
Just those two.
Just those two. The Circle. Or How to Be a Latin Lover.
I'm surprised they didn't open Guardians this weekend, like it is in much of the world.
Okay.
Because hasn't Fate of the Furious been out like a month?
3 weeks, yeah.
I mean, I feel like it could take it, but like you said, they know what they're doing when they stagger their release schedules.
Yeah.
It just seemed like this wasn't a good weekend for it. A lot of other new competition.
That is a very savvy analysis right there.
You should, email someone in the company.
You missed your calling, I think. Work for
Let them know. Maybe.
Disney Marvel.
Yeah. Call Disney Marvel and
distribution.
Have a conversation.
I'll hit them up. I'll let them know.
Drop by.
Because it sounds like they missed one.
Go by. Go right in the front gate there and just tell them who you are and just start walking.
Oh, don't tell them who you are. Just walk right through.
Walk past the security guard. Right. Then start jogging and then just go break into a full sprint. And just head right towards the headquarters. Right. That's what I recommend.
Sounds like good advice.
That's the kind of stuff they respond to well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Daniel Lindsay and T.J. Martin are Academy Award-winning filmmakers who will be joining us next hour here on The Kevin Bean Show. They have a fascinating new documentary all about the events that took place 25 years ago this weekend. The L.A. riots, you guys. The movie's called L.A. 92. We'll talk all about that coming up next hour with our guests. First, though, I got to tell you, and I know you agree with me on this, Kevin, there are a lot of terrible things about being president. I mean, it's a really, I think, a terrible job.
Yeah, I would think you would wake up every day and just be hit in the face with so many problems.
Right.
That it would just beat you down.
Be awful. However, and I've often thought this, there are a lot of perks, too. Like the fact that you have a 24-hour kitchen at your disposal at any time. You know, you could wake up at 2 a.m., Kevin, make a phone call, and have somebody bring you a hot fudge sundae if you wanted.
Right?
I mean, how amazing is that? Somebody in your house brings you a hot fudge sundae.
How is every president of the United States not fat when they leave?
Yeah.
I know. I just keep thinking that kitchen is the best thing about it.
Yeah, totally worth it, right?
Totally worth it. And President Trump has taken it even a step further. He has put, like on your Amazon.com, you have the dash button where you just hit a button and they'll bring you something.
Right.
Amazon will do that. Well, he has that in the White House where he has a red button on his desk. He presses it and somebody brings him a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola.
No.
Yes.
Really?
That's fantastic. Well,
enthusiasm.
He is thrilled.
You don't have to get up and even walk to the fridge and pour it into a glass.
But he has a phone.
Right, but he doesn't even have to talk to anybody. He just hits a button and they bring him a Coke. I love this so much.
Oh, geez.
Let's find out if I'm overexcited about this. President Donald J. Trump, number 45, back on the phone, back on the Kevin and Bean Show, probably enjoying a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola right now as we speak. How are you, Mr. President?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. As always, Bean, I want to thank you for being a huge, huge supporter of mine.
Well,
you've
I didn't say
been great.
That.
You're always talking great things about me on the radio.
I'm not sure.
And I want you to know all the support you've given me over the past year has really meant a lot to me. And you are a huge, huge supporter of mine. And I really appreciate it.
Probably the biggest supporter in California.
Big
I'm
league.
Not sure.
Big league. The
I
biggest supporter.
I didn't
Let's
say.
Let's face it, California. Awful, awful state. The worst, okay? I really don't care for it.
Right.
But there's one person in California who always stands up for me, and that is Bean, and I really, really appreciate it.
You may be mistaken.
Great, great supporter of mine. You have been, and I really
All right.
think
Mr.
you're
President.
The best.
All right. I'm not in California, and B, I didn't say I support you. I just said I think the button is awesome that you hit it and they bring you a Coke. I just love that. That's
it is pretty awesome. And I got to say, as you know, tomorrow's 100 days.
Yeah, congratulations.
100 days in office for me.
A lot of people didn't think you'd make it this far.
It is a tremendous success.
Is
Huge.
It?
Huge. I mean the button. The button is a huge success.
Okay.
I really haven't accomplished much, but I have a button on my desk that brings me a Coke.
Well?
A big league win for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the little things, right, that really mean a lot.
It's the only things I have, really. Little, big, I got one. A button brings me Coke.
Being president is harder than you thought it would be. Am I right, Mr. Trump?
Who could have known it would be so difficult? Who could have guessed it would be complicated?
Well,
no one could have known
it
would happen.
Everyone.
Everybody thinks it's so simple to be president, and yet it's really, really not.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people said, oh, Donald, you're going to be great at it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Right,
that's really difficult.
Well, your health care bill didn't exactly take off. The it doesn't seem like you're making any progress on the wall. You released one page on tax reform so far. Your executive order on immigration tied up in the courts. I mean, it's just one thing right after another that you kind of promised in that first 100 days that you really haven't made much progress on. How are you feeling about that? Frustrated?
Did I mention I have a button on my desk?
You have a button.
And I
press,
and a guy brings me a Coke.
Right.
Okay. Do you have that?
No.
All right, then.
Oh, no. You win in that category.
Right. Winning. I'm so tired of winning. It's unbelievable. America never wins anymore.
Right.
And now we win because we have a Coke button.
Bean just asked you a question where there's about five or six things that you promised that you haven't had a win. And it seems like you're avoiding that a bit.
I am going to sign an executive order right now.
Okay, here we go.
This says, don't ask me any more questions. Donald Trump, there we go. Executive order, holding it up for the cameras.
And now
I
can't ask you questions now because you wrote that on a piece of paper?
That's right. Even though you're a huge, huge supporter of mine, and I do appreciate it. I'd like to offer you a cabinet position, Bean.
Wow. I'm not qualified to be in your cabinet, Mr. President.
Have you seen my cabinet? You're probably overqualified.
Okay.
I'm making you Secretary of Chocolate Milk.
Oh, I'll take it.
Oh, man.
And when I push a button, you bring me a chocolate milk.
Oh, that's how that works?
With no pants on.
Oh, wait. Wow.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Hey, Ralph is here at 6:51. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
You guys familiar with Jessica Lucas? From
I don't
Gotham.
Know that name. No.
Gotham. She plays Tabitha.
All right.
Tabitha Gallivant. She was the sister of Theo, the one who tried to take over.
Oh, with the blade feet or something?
With what?
Didn't she have blade feet?
Blade feet?
From Kingsman?
That's the movie
like,
The Kingsman.
Yeah, but she, didn't her character have that?
What
Not
is
at
happening?
All?
I don't know, but I love every time Allie guesses now.
I haven't seen Gotham in a while.
Kevin's
or
too
ever,
behind.
Apparently. Wow. Kevin's too behind, yeah.
I thought she had blade feet.
She was the sister of Theo Gallivan who tried to take over Gotham.
Right.
And then she started working
with Barbara.
She worked with Barbara now.
She's the one with the whip,
the real sexy one.
Right. Uh-huh. With the blade feet.
Dumbasses. She was also Riley on Melrose Place when that came back for a hot minute over there in the CW. Anyway, she's getting married. I was just impressed because she's a beautiful, talented, really remarkably sexy TV star. And she's headed to the altar with her fiancé, a lucky fella named Alex Jermasic. You know what he does?
Installs blade feet?
Nope.
He does?
Nope. He's a butcher. He's a butcher. And I think that's encouraging to all the fellas out there who are just out there just putting in a hard day's work that you too can end up with a smoking hot, sexy TV star. All you butchers out there. So while you're chopping up your pig's feet today or you're trimming some fat off a pork loin, just think to yourself, there might be a TV star in my future. As you're hacking the head off a goat.
Whatever it is you're doing there. Do we need those details?
What do you think butchers do, Kevin?
I know, but I don't
think they make dip wax candles? Is that how you make candles? You dip them. Is that it?
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
It would be handy if she had blade for feet.
There are no blade feet.
She could help him, is all I'm saying.
NFL's going to lose a fan in a couple years.
Uh-oh.
He just announced it this week. Tom Hanks has announced he will boycott the NFL after the Raiders move to Las Vegas.
Really?
Because?
Well, the Hanks is a Oakland boy, born and raised. Mm-hmm. Longtime Raiders fan.
Okay.
And he has announced, when the Raiders leave, I'm going on an NFL moratorium. He said, you cannot take the silver and black and put them in an air-conditioned dome in the desert, make them play on artificial turf within the stone's throw of the fountains of Caesar's Palace, and call them the Raiders. He is not happy with this move. The only good thing that will come out of the Oakland Raiders leaving, and there is nothing good that will come out of it, by the way, is that the Oakland A's might get their own ballpark. So, as a fan, he is not happy with this move.
I assume there are a lot of fans that are not happy with this move.
I can imagine. He makes a good point. He says, I'm just thinking as a fan, it's a billion-dollar industry. They have billion-dollar TV contracts. All the owners are billionaires. And yet, when they want to build a stadium, they're going to use for 10 weeks out of the year, they expect the city taxpayers to buy the building.
He's not wrong.
So, what are you going to do without football? I could never boycott football. I don't care. I don't care what they do.
Did you watch any of the draft yesterday, bro?
I watched as much as I could. I was very busy yesterday.
Every single time Roger Goodell got up on the mic, which, you know, it happens quite often, a hearty boo.
Yeah, well, everybody hates him.
Every single time.
It was awful.
It was fascinating. Yeah.
Very excited about the Eagles pick, though. Very excited. This Derek Bennett kid is awesome. He is a defensive end out of Tennessee, and he broke the school record for sacks that was previously held by a little-known player named Reggie White.
Wow.
Out-sacked Reggie White. That's all. Good night. Good night, quarterbacks.
So that's it?
That we play. Okay, hey, Ralph, go Union, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that today or not, but go Union. Philadelphia Union.
Sure.
Coming to town. Just want to give them a shout-out.
Oh, I see.
Because you know what a big soccer fan I am.
Yeah, you sure are.
Yeah.
Ralph, I have a question for you about your boycott, and I understand where you're coming from. And this will never happen, but if the Eagles left Philadelphia and relocated to another city, as the Raiders are doing, would you still follow them, or would you turn their back on them because they broke your heart?
I would still follow them.
Still be your team?
Yeah.
All right.
Unless then Philadelphia got a new team, like happened with Baltimore. Like, if I was a Colts fan, and the Colts left Baltimore and went to Indianapolis, once the Ravens started up, then I would go back to my hometown roots, and I would just support whoever's playing in my hometown.
Gotcha.
But that'll never happen.
No, it'll never happen.
Never,
I agree.
Because yeah. God loves the Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean, look at all the success that God has blessed them with.
All
That's right.
Winning.
That's right.
So I mean, tired of winning.
So many Super Bowls.
Exactly. Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga are still filming their A Star Is Born movie. Would you like to watch that happen? You can. Lady Gaga tweeted out an invitation to all her little monsters to be part of the audience when they're filming scenes at L.A.'s Greek Theater next Tuesday and Wednesday, May 2nd and 3rd. You can be in the audience while she performs for the movie cameras for
the motion picture A Star is Born is being directed by her co-star Bradley Cooper. Tickets are $12.
Wow.
And all the proceeds go to Gaga's Born This Way Foundation. You got to be 18 years of age or older. And you can go by going to the following website, gaga.elder.
Been a while.
gaga.lk/Greek Theater. You ever heard such an address?
No.
What's LK? What's LK?
What is LK? I don't know.
I don't know either. And new music. There's new music out. If you're interested in new music, there's new music. Foster the People is releasing its third album this summer. There's no title yet to the follow-up of their 2014 album, Supermodel. But they did drop three new songs yesterday that you can download as a bundle that they're calling Three. There's three new singles. One's called Doing It for the Money, another Pay the Man, and then SHC is the third single. You can download them together. Here's a little taste of the new song, Doing It for the Money, from Foster the People. Good, those guys.
They are good.
You don't like it?
I do like them.
I see it in your eyes. I'm not seeing your eyes. There we go.
That was creepy, what you just did.
And it's also new music from Fall Out Boy. They have a new album called Mania, and they've got a new track called Young and Menace. And it's
strong.
Sure new.
Yeah.
It's sure out.
Very different.
It was sure different out.
For Fall Out Boy.
It's new and out.
Right.
It's those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little taste of that.
Oops. I did it again. I forgot what I was losing my mind about.
Nothing wrong with your radio. That happens.
Man, Patrick had hit some high notes.
That is.
He started with, oops, I did it again.
He did, yes.
Yeah, and then the chipmunks chip in. Wow. I'm glad to see they're still working. I'm glad they came by to visit on that song. Wow.
What's going on there? What's that about?
Nothing good.
Okay.
I know that much. So that happened. Kevin's still smiling. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jenna Ushkowitz. She's 31 years old today. She was so good on Glee. Jessica Alba's 36. Penelope Cruz is 43. A lot of attractive women born on this day. Bridget Moynihan's 47. Jay Leno's 67. Insane Clown Posse rapper Violent J is 45. And Jorge Garcia of Lost in Hawaii 50 celebrates his 44th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show by speak.
When talented people who are really good at their jobs come in, Kevin, I'm a little put back on my heels. I don't really know how to react. So I guess we just give them a nice introduction and then just stay out of the way and let them be them.
I think so, yeah.
Dan Lindsay and TJ Martin are in studio. They are co-directors, Oscar winners, by the way, Dan and TJ both, co-directors of a new film called LA 92, premiering this Sunday night at 9 on the National Geographic Channel. If you don't know why it's called LA 92, it's because it's been 25 years now since the Los Angeles riots. Gentlemen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. How are you?
Doing well.
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Really appreciate you coming in. I didn't know that I needed your show, but when I watched the movie last night, I was so glad that I did because I can't believe how much of that I had forgotten. I mean, take us through it. Where did the idea come from that this needed to be revisited on this 25th anniversary?
Well, the 25th anniversary was the impetus to kind of look at it. You know, we were approached by the producers of the film, Simon Chin and Jonathan Chin, and they had set up the film at National Geographic and asked us if, you know, we'd be interested, and they had already kind of culled together some of the archival. But it was in looking at that footage that we decided we were going to make the film entirely with archival sources. So there's no interviews, there's no voiceover, and we culled through, you know, thousands of hours of footage to piece together. We really, you know, the intention of the film is to put you back in that place and time, and hopefully make you think about that, but also what is happening currently in our country.
It works really well, but how did you make the decision to not have interviews or a voiceover?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think first and foremost is if we can, you know, remove the filter of someone kind of deconstructing the events and almost creating an analysis of them, that way it creates a more immersive experience for the audience. For lack of better terms, it brings those events to life. And we give the audience the benefit of the doubt of wrestling with those ideas, wrestling with race, wrestling with class, wrestling with inequities and injustice. And then you can kind of create those connections on your own.
And the fact that you're able to understand the narrative in a whole different way.
Correct.
When it's not being told to you,
right.
You're literally there going, holy crap.
Yeah.
All of this. I was telling you guys before we went on, I'm an LA native. I was way too young when this happened.
Shame.
And as I'm watching
Kevin,
it,
we were
realized,
doing this job when
yeah,
this
you guys
happened.
Were here live on the air, I believe.
I agree to disagree.
But I realized, wow, I was way too white and way too living in the suburbs to grasp what was happening to essentially my city.
Yeah.
So watching this, it was like I was watching everything for the first time. And it's the most amazing documentary I've ever seen.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And I've seen a few.
Wow.
No offense
that.
To Undefeated, that won you an Oscar, but I like this one better. It's amazing.
Yeah, a big part of the film was to, you know, you don't have a traditional three-act structure. You know, the city is your main character. So in order to, we thought of the film more like a symphony. So it operates in kind of five movements. And, you know, in order to propel the narrative, we kind of structured it in a way where you're constantly shifting points of view. So to speak to what you're saying, you get insight from what the experience was like from the Korean-American community. You get a point of view through the lens of the LAPD, and then you're with government, and then you're in South Central with the African-American community, and you're constantly intercutting and interweaving between those different storylines. And that, I think, for a lot of people have had that a similar reaction where I didn't know about this particular experience or the Korean-American narrative, like its full journey. And that was very intentional.
It's a lot more layered than most people like to the way most people think about things is black and white, and that's it, and it's either good or bad, and it's a lot. There's a lot more layers to this.
Yeah, I mean, that sense of cognitive dissonance was something we knew right from the beginning we wanted to instill in the entirety of the film. So, you know, because for us, that's kind of the experience for a lot of people of America, this idea that we are founded on this idea that all men are created equal, but the men who signed the document that said that owned other human beings. And these are these, you know, contradictions in America that we don't really seem to ever want to wrestle with. And the film is hopefully hitting people on an emotional level so that we can start these conversations.
These are directors Dan Lindsay and TJ Martin here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. We're talking about their new film called LA 92, National Geographic Channel, 9 o'clock on Sunday night. By the way, you can also see it in theaters if you'd like to. It's playing at the Lemley NoHo 7 in North Hollywood starting today. When I was watching this movie last night, guys, there are a lot of bad guys in the thing. I mean, the police officers who beat Rodney King were clearly wrong, in my opinion. The jury that acquitted them, it seemed to be just straight-up race-based jury nullification, were wrong, in my opinion. The people who then went out and looted and set fires and beat up people for no reason were wrong, in my opinion. The government failed on multiple levels, city, state, and nationally. There's not a lot of people to root for except the innocent citizens of Los Angeles who are kind of dragged into it.
Yeah, I think we explicitly wanted to experience the film through the lens, mostly through the citizens. But I would reframe it a little bit and think about it in a way where there's a statement made by someone in the film that where he says human error. And a friend of ours watched the film and he says, that thing just stuck with me, that notion of human error. So I don't know if it's necessarily that they're bad guys. We really want to treat everyone and kind of humanize them as much as possible. I think when you, even for the officers, you don't want to turn them into caricatures, right?
Was you that difficult?
It was extremely difficult.
Especially in the current age. I mean, the cops are bad is pretty much ruling the world right now. Was that a difficult thing to do?
I think the most difficult was Chief Gates. I mean,
as documentarians,
we try to look at everything objectively. And that was one that I was like, you know, I've heard so many negative things about him, but I'm really going to come to this with an open mind.
Right.
That was impossible to have an open mind.
So you just hired an actor to play him?
Ali, you fell in love all over again with Chief Gates watching that movie.
Wow.
He's Darth Vader.
Yeah, his stuff with, I think it was Congressman Wu.
Yeah.
Is, I literally paused it, was infuriated, had to leave. I paused this a few times, which I'm sure a lot of people watching it will do. But the thing that got me to the Rodney King speech, which as a little kid, all I remember was, can't we all just get along? That's all I remember from it. But this time watching it, what hit me like a ton of bricks was, we're all stuck here.
Yeah.
We're all stuck here together. Like, why don't we figure this out? And I was like, we are all stuck here. Oh, God. And it's going to, it's just the interweaving of 1965, the Watts riots, doing that at the beginning. And then I won't give away the end, but the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. And then I finished watching it, and I've never been more depressed about the future. So thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Yay.
I mean, I think hopefully, you know, we described the what we were trying to achieve at the end is something that's sobering. Hopefully it's not purely depressing, but it's sobering to wake us up to where we, you know, where we are and what can happen.
That's what
when
she
we
meant.
Lose the
no, I did. I did. It's sparking all kinds of conversations, which is the first step of anything to happen, which is the point of the whole movie. But holy crap, it's good, guys.
All right, we have to take a very quick break. Our guests again, Dan Lindsay, TJ Martin, Academy Award winning directors. Their new film is called LA 92. More with our guests right after this on camera.
I don't know what that song's about, but it's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and the Kevin and Bean Show at 723.
Well, let me help you out here, Kevin. That is April 29th, 1992, 25 years ago tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. And our guests in studio are Dan Lindsay and TJ Martin. They are directors of a new film called LA 92, premiering this Sunday night on the National Geographic Channel, or you can see it in the theater if you dare at the Lindley NoHo 7 in North Hollywood. Guys, we mentioned in the last segment that you use all footage that had you didn't have to shoot anything new for this. It's all footage that was shot at that time, basically over the course of those months that this was unfolding. Correct?
Correct. Yeah.
How much did you have to choose from? How much was out there, and how much is new to the screen?
I mean, I think we kind of guesstimate that we had about 1,700 to 2,000 hours of footage.
Wow.
And it's hard to know what is. I mean, I think a fair bit of it is new to people. Some of it, you know, existed maybe on a small film that somebody made that never was widely seen. But there is a lot of stuff that is unearthed for the first time. You know, a lot of the we were able to go to the city archives and find just tapes and tapes and tapes from the LAPD that had been sitting there over the years for a documentary they made on their – for an internal documentary they made on the civil unrest. When we started going through those, it was just a whole different perspective.
What's that like as a job when you wake up every day and you've got to go into a dark room and watch a riot day after day after day? Was it difficult for you guys mentally?
In one word, it's dark.
Yeah,
it is. It's definitely emotionally exhausting to, you know, specifically cutting certain scenes that are just very, I mean, the film is designed to be very emotional, very visceral. So you kind of have to tap into that space while you're creating it. And to be quite frank, you know, every time you go over and, you know, every morning when you're reading the news, you're actually taking that information, whatever's happening kind of in contemporary society, and you're infusing it into the film in its own right. A lot of the approach was kind of exploring how these circumstances and these events are cyclical in nature, so you couldn't really extract yourself from working on the film and it itself tainting the way in which you're looking at the world today and vice versa.
Yeah, it was a trip to like go home at night and hear newscasters or politicians saying literally the exact same words that you were watching earlier that day.
And what you were watching in 92 was in so many ways similar to what had been said on TV in the events of 1965. So as you mentioned, it's cyclical, but is there a part of you that goes, there's no doubt this is going to happen again one day?
I don't know if we feel like there's I think we would say we shouldn't be surprised if it does. You know, Martin Luther King defined a riot as the language of the unheard. And I think as long as we have communities of people that feel marginalized and unrepresented.
Oh, no, I think we're all good now with that.
Okay.
Everything's
okay.
Taken care
good,
of.
So,
we had a black president, so everything's fine, you guys. We're fixed.
We made a specific case of putting in Mayor Bradley's election because it was just so eerily similar. Like, oh, after Watts, L.A. elected
we're
a black
good,
mayor.
Guys.
Like, oh, everything's fine, guys.
Well, it is a remarkable piece of work, you guys. You really should be very proud.
Appreciate
and we really have to urge our listeners to seek this out on the National Geographic Channel on Sunday night, especially younger people. You know, like Allie, you mentioned you were too young to really kind of grasp the scope of this at the
same
time.
Yeah.
I think younger people would be astonished at how bad it was and how dangerous it was. Hundreds and hundreds of fires. And
916 structures were burning at one point in the city of Los Angeles. I couldn't even wrap my head around that.
And you said it was more than that?
Oh, yeah.
Total
fires?
Yeah.
And then the National Guard is deployed, and they don't have bullets. I mean, it's like you can't believe this was real.
Yeah, we made a point of, every time you see quote-unquote authorities, or the kind of bureaucracy at work and just fumbling. I think there's a myth that we believe our society is maybe held together a little more strongly than
right.
It actually is. I think that was the hardest thing going into work every day is just that recognition of how fragile the fabric of our society is.
Yeah. No, you're right, guys. You gave us a lot to think about. And thank you so much for making the movie. And thank you so much for coming in. We really, really appreciate it. By the way, one listener has emailed in and asking, is the thing going to be for sale at all? Is it going to be the type of thing eventually people are going to be able to own or no?
Yeah, I believe so. It'll be on iTunes and streaming services. Nat Geo, is really doing a push in the documentary space. And they really want to make films that are going to have a social impact. So they will provide it for free as well to universities. For screenings and as well as I believe it will be streaming on their app as well.
That's
for
great.
A period of time. So I would search out via National Geographic.
Dan Lindsay, TJ Martin, thanks for coming in, you guys. We really appreciate it. We got the phones open right now for you at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to win some tickets, we got K-Rock Advanced Screening of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. You get to see it tomorrow at the AMC in downtown Disney. Plus, we'll throw in some resort tickets to the park as well. 1-800-520-1067. We got a game you can play, and it's next on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
You know so much about Disney movies. Right? That's what I've learned this week from working with you.
So true. I am a Disney file.
The last 6 years of your life, you suddenly have become an expert on all things Disney.
I was a Disney fan even before I had a kid. But once you do have a kid, especially a daughter, you do get immersed in the world of Disney.
And appreciate how wonderful their movies are,
right? To pretty much love it. Yeah. I'm as big a fan
because there's a lot of stuff that kids want to see that you hate.
Yes.
So when a movie
there's a lot of crap that gets made for kids.
So when Disney makes a movie, you go, okay, I'm going to enjoy that too.
Because you can count on them.
Well, you are the right guy for this because we got a 4-pack of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. You get to see it tomorrow. Of course, it opens everywhere next Friday, May 5th. Plus, we'll throw in a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. This game is called Featured Creatures.
Featured Creatures. Bean is a creeper. Right? Featured Creatures. Bean's not wearing pants. Come on, you can win. Guardians of the Galaxy and tickets to the happiest place on Earth, Disney.
Now, I got roped into this, Ralph, the
right?
Callers are on the line. What's Featured Creatures all about?
Well, here's the thing about the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise. Rocket Raccoon has been one of the breakout characters that everyone loves from these films. Voiced by Bradley Cooper, he is a talking raccoon. And I thought, since we're giving out tickets to Disneyland as well as tickets to see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, the one thing they both have in common is amazing personalities, charming, charismatic characters that are animals. Disney has a lot of creatures that sing and talk in their movies that we have learned to love over the years, just like Rocket Raccoon. So I thought what I would do is I would play a classic Disney animal character singing a song. And the people on the phone have to identify what Disney character is doing the singing. They are the featured creatures of Disney movies.
Featured creatures.
All right, let's start with Joseph in Pomona. Hi there.
Hi.
Joseph, you know your Disney films?
I've been watching Disney since I was three, yeah.
Good man. I'm going to play you a song by a animal, creature, character from a Disney film. You have to identify it. Here we go.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities or Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life.
Finally, we're playing some good music on this station.
There you go. Who is that, Joseph?
That's Baloo from the Jungle Book.
Baloo the Bear. Correct. Absolutely.
Nicely done. You go in the drawing. Hold on. Let's go to Aurora in Rosemead. Hi there.
Hi. Aurora, you know, your name is the same name as a Disney character. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Why are you talking?
You know, and coincidentally enough, it's Sleeping Beauty. And it sounds like you're asleep.
Are you at work?
Yeah, I'm at work.
Okay.
I'm the only one here, though. So.
Okay.
Well, you're the only one there. Take your pants off.
Why do you have to be quiet if you're the only one there?
I don't know.
You're so weird.
All right, I'm going to play you a singing Disney animal character, and you have to identify it. Here you go.
I'd rather be shiny like a treasure from a sunken pirate wreck. Scrub the deck and make it look shiny. I will sparkle like a wealthy woman's neck. Just to say.
You know that is Aurora?
Who is that?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Tamatoa, the crab from the latest Disney hit, Moana.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, is that Jermaine Clement?
That's Jermaine Clement, Flight of the Conchords fame. That's right.
Sorry, Aurora. Thanks for calling, though.
All right. Let's go to Emil in San Gabriel.
Emil.
Schlamazel.
Here is your Disney featured creature.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Who's that?
No, I don't know, sir.
Wow. That makes my heart hurt.
Wow. That's OG right there.
That was Jiminy Cricket from Pinocchio. The little cricket. Little conscience on your shoulder.
It's a grasshopper, right?
No, Allie. Yeah, Allie said yesterday, oh, the grasshopper? No, Jiminy Cricket!
Oh, he's yelling, it's in the name!
That's his last name!
Let's go to Chris and Yorba Linda. Hi there.
What's up, party people?
Hey, Chris.
I'll tell you what's up.
Featured creatures.
We're going to play you a Disney-featured creature, and you need to identify it. Now, this is a toughie. This is a twofer, but we'll take either one. Here's your clip.
It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
That's Timon and Pumbaa.
Look at that. Nice.
Yeah, way to go.
Got them both. Hold on. All right, let's go to Ellie in Los Angeles. Welcome, Ellie.
Hi,
Ellie. I'm going to play for you a Disney animal character singing. You need to identify it. Here's your clip.
Under the sea, darling, it's bitter. Down where it's wetter, take it from me.
Who's that, Ellie?
Sebastian,
yes.
Sebastian the Crab. You're absolutely right. Hold on. You're in the drawing.
Next up is Jen in Granada Hills. Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi, Jen. Here's your clip.
I'm just a little black rain cloud hovering under the honey tree.
Know who that is, Jen?
I could barely hear it. I'm not sure.
Oh, you want to take a guess?
Take a guess.
I couldn't even hear it. I'm sorry.
That was Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
That was Pooh.
Yeah.
Floating in the air under the honey tree.
All right, I think we got time for one more, you guys.
Go!
Let's go to Matthew in Newport Beach. Hi.
What'd I do?
Matthew, here's your clip.
I'm gonna be the main event like no king was before. I'm brushing up, I'm looking down, I'm working on my roar.
Who's that, Matthew?
Is that Simba from The Lion King?
It is indeed.
Nicely done.
Congratulations, you're in the drawing.
By the way, boys and girls alike seem to know and love these Disney movies, Ralph.
Yes.
That's an odd...
All kinds of children,
that's,
Bean.
That's odd commentary.
Turns out both boys and girls.
They're popular,
love
is
oh, really?
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Films do well. What the heck?
Matthew, Ellie, Chris, and Joseph all qualified. They're all in the drawing. Only two will win the 4-pack of passes to K-Rock Advanced Screening of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 tomorrow at AMC in Downtown Disney and a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. Who are our winners, please?
Ellie and Joseph.
Ellie and Joseph. Congratulations and thanks for playing the game.
Featured creatures. Bean's not wearing pants.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Can you tell us how much money is involved that they need to, the chasm they need to...
Okay, Bean?
The chasm they need to...
Michael?
Climb over.
In a moment with?
Yes, I think you did. I think you're in a moment with now, Michael.
My dreams have come true.
That was A Moment with Bean.
You know how sometimes you start a sentence and...
Yes, I do, Bean.
You missed the landing, but at least you can see what you were going for, and you have a path out. I had nothing. If you had given me 10 minutes, I wouldn't have been able to finish that sentence, Kevin. I had nowhere to go from
where
I put
myself. Trying to keep everyone quiet, but Michael had jumping in there.
It was that was tough, man. I was in that chasm is where I was. All right, it's a Monday morning. Hey, we'll catch up with our old friend Nick the Signholder, you guys.
It's not Monday morning as much as it is Friday morning.
It is Friday, right? And okay. We're going to talk to Nick the Signholder coming up just after 8. First Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
What? He said Monday, right?
Yeah, he did.
Because I was like, this is a long week then.
It's time to start putting some people down, I think. You know?
Bag in the desert.
It's just the humane thing to do, right? Really.
Quality of life.
Right. You got to get the pillow and just put it over the mouth and just end it. For some
guys, I can still feed myself. I can still walk.
Do I need to play the moment with again?
I do have some mental damage. That's true.
That's possible. Ah, finally, someone's getting around to rebooting the great outdoors.
The great outdoors.
The great outdoors.
Look, we don't need a remake of The Great Outdoors. It's perfectly fine just the way it is. John Candy, Kevin for the win. With Dan Aykroyd. Written by John Hughes. Love that film. The 96er, right? The 96er.
At the bar? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's when John Candy sits down to eat 96 ounces of steak. Remember? You get it for free if you can finish it, and you get the T-shirt. The 96er, the old 96er. Nobody gets me. You know who's going to star in it as the two mismatched, wacky duo who has to spend time together on vacation? As I mentioned, it was John Candy and Dan Aykroyd in the original.
The Rock and Zac Efron?
No, it looks like Kevin Hart will be one of the stars. And producers are currently looking for a co-star for the film. Some are suggesting Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Because their success in their film Central Intelligence.
Yeah, they were great
did
together.
So well at the box office that they might add him to the mix. But currently looking for a co-star for Kevin Hart. For the two of them to go into the great outdoors and remake that film.
Bobo.
And maybe Bobo. Maybe Bobo will work with him. Would be great. Hey, this is a waste of time and money.
The show?
No. Oh. Well, perhaps. But would you like to learn how to speak Dothraki?
Is that a Star Trek language or something?
Dothraki. Dothraki.
Right, you said it 3 times. We don't know what that is.
That's the language from Game of Thrones.
Oh, all right.
Bitchin'.
Well, good news. The University of California at Berkeley will be offering a 6-week summer course in the fake language.
I can't speak English. Why would I want to try and learn
you
a fake language?
You should learn Dothraki. How great would you be in Dothraki if you came back on the show and started saying, no, no, no one? The man teaching the class will be David Peterson. He's the guy who created the language for the TV series.
Have they just given up at Berkeley?
He also invented the High Valyrian language for the show as well.
Sure.
But I don't think they're offering a course in that. So that's where your tax dollars are really... returning some dividends there, the University of California, Berkeley.
Hey, who? Language.
Right?
Right.
Hey, new music out today. You know, it is new release day. Bean, you love Friday's new release days, don't you?
I mean, I
I'm excited for new music. I prefer Tuesdays.
Mary J. Blige has a new album out called Strength of a Woman. Newfound Glory has a new album out called Makes Me Sick. The Gorillaz, new album, Humans, with a Z, is out today, as well as the soundtrack from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Awesome Mix Volume 2, featuring all the classic hits that will be featured in the new movie. I love that first soundtrack. It's awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jenna Ushkowitz celebrates her 31st birthday today. Jessica Alba is 36. Penelope Cruz is 43. Bridget Moynihan, 47 years old. Violent J of the Insane Clown Posse is 45. Too Short. The rapper is 51. Jay Leno is 67. The worst.
The great impression.
So glad he's not on television anymore, except for that dumb car show he has.
I got an offer in mail.
And Jorge Garcia is 44 years old today. Do we have a moment with...
We don't. I don't think we do.
Where Kevin called him Jose when we were interviewing him. Those were good times.
Called him Jose more than once.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I can recall.
Yeah, we were all embarrassed. All embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we had it.
I wish we did, too.
It's too bad.
Star of Lost and Hawaii Five-0. He's 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, don't forget, K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017 coming up on May 20th at the StubHub Center. Street Team members got theirs. Now, if you're not a Street Team member, you can get yours when they go on sale at noon today through AXS.com. If you want to see Lord and Incubus and Imagine Dragons and Cage the Elephant, 311, Paramore, Lana Del Rey, Dream Car, and all the rest, get the details at K-Rock.com. Make sure to buy your tickets at noon today. I promise you, this will sell out and sell out fast, so get on it.
What did you call the festival? I mean, the show?
The K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta?
Mm.
The Amazing Weenie Roast Yay Fiesta.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Roddy, for reminding me. I do always say that wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited, Kevin, to catch up with an old friend. He and I have been communicating recently on Twitter, and it's about time we got him on the air because he's always bursting with new ideas and exciting things happening in his life. And, of course, he's been on the program for a long time on and off. Nick the Signholder, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend Nick, back on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey,
how
Nick.
Are you, Nick?
I'm doing actually really good. Things are good lately.
All right. Good
honestly,
for you.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw you. You tweeted a picture a couple of weeks ago of a picture of you standing out on the street, and you said something like, "Here's a picture of a guy that I really like." And I thought, "Wow, Nick is starting to feel pretty good about himself."
Yeah, well, I'm having some good breaks lately. I just have there's good energy right now.
All right,
you know? Yeah.
And what are you doing for work? You're not in the sign holding business
actually,
anymore.
I have a part time job. I have like a gig job. It's not like as frequent as I want, but it's still. Any
do we have to guess?
What?
Do we have to guess?
No, I'm actually like delivering art for productions.
Okay.
Like my friend is like a very professional person. I've been helping her out.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, good for you. Well, I'm glad to hear you're in such a good place. Now, what's going on with your girlfriend, Amber Heard, the actress Amber Heard that you love? Are you guys still in touch?
She's not my girlfriend. She's my muse.
Your muse?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
She inspires
you. She is my muse. If anyone's going to be my muse at this point, it's her, you know?
Right. And I thought for a while when we were talking to you that you were serious about trying to force her back into the slavery that was the Playboy Club TV show. And you were if it came to it, you were going to have to kidnap her and force her to make those shows?
Funny you mention that. She actually, on Easter, she actually posted, like, a picture of her, like, you know, doing the Playboy Club on Instagram about it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just wrote to her about it on Instagram about how I just missed the character and how much that whole thing meant to me. And
you can write a lot on that. So Nick probably is still writing that. Is that correct?
Here's the thing about that. Playboy did, like, a new Playboyish show, and I really didn't like it that much.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of disappointing to see because, like, what I really wanted was, like, Amber's character and, uh-huh. like, you know, the whole cast from the original show.
So it's all about Amber.
No, it's about Amber and, like, the whole cast.
Okay. You like the whole show, right. So what did you write to her? Did you write to her that you wanted you thought she should do it again?
Here's what I think at this point about it. I want to bring those characters back, but in a story that's really not, like, a 60s counterculture story. I want, like, a I want, like, a Playboy fantasy story. I want to, like, cross over with heavy metal and, like, you know, do a really insane thing.
Okay.
And that's just very different from, like, what the show would have been. Because this new show on Amazon is basically what the NBC show would have been had it actually had, like, a real life.
Right.
And I've always loved Playboy, but, like, I love Amber Moore.
Right.
You know?
So you want to do right by your lady.
Yes.
Okay.
It's always been what I wanted.
So Amber has been available for a brief window, and now she's with Elon Musk. What are your thoughts on that?
If this makes her happy, I'm fine with it. That's what I can say.
But Nick, she was with Johnny Depp, and then they broke up, and then she was single. Why didn't she think of you?
Well, you know what? There are a lot of guys that have more money than me, or like hunkier than me, and have probably many things that I don't have.
Yeah, but that's true of all guys and women. Hold on. And women are much more understanding about that than guys are.
All I can give to Amber is my heart and what's in it, and it's the story, and it's so awesome, and it's like. And I'm not trying to like be the NBC show anymore. I can tell you that much.
So, are you writing a new show for her?
I'm writing. I don't know what into it now.
Okay, is it a TV series or is it a movie?
Probably a mini series. Yeah,
a mini series.
Well, Nick has never written anything that's less than 100,000 words. You know that, Kevin.
No, I wrote a short story for her that I want her to read.
How many words were in the short story?
It was a 25-page. It was like a teaser of this bigger thing.
I see.
Okay. Guys, I don't know. Nick sounds like he's in a healthy place. He sounds like he's grown up. It sounds like he understands boundaries. He's got wishes and dreams, but he's not like taking
it too far. They're not unrealistic.
They're not unrealistic. I think you've grown up, Nick.
Well, thank you. I hope I am too. I want to be Amber's writer, and I want to.
Okay,
like,
now you're getting
friend?
Right into whining. Yeah, you went right from a compliment into whining.
Are there any actresses that have writers, the persons whose job it is just to write stuff for them?
Probably.
All right, good. You've done your research.
All right.
That's a good sign.
So would you guys consider that you guys are friends now, you and Amber?
We have a history. I know that much.
Mm-hmm. What's your history?
We met a bunch of times years ago, and to be quite honest, sometimes people around Amber kind of got upset with me because I was I really wanted to make a good impression. It was very hard, too.
Oh, no.
But Amber was always nice to me. Amber was always, always, always nice to me. She always, like, made time for me. She always said goodbye to me before
she left.
You've
said the word always now 10 times in the last 30 seconds. How many times have you met her?
Seven times.
Seven times.
And now let me just clarify, because a lot of times someone's in a room with a whole bunch of people, and if she's there, you go, yeah, I was hanging out with Amber. Was it those kinds of meetings, or were you talking to her?
Amber's been in a while, though, but lately, since she's been back on Twitter and Instagram, I've run to her a bunch of times.
Oh, but that doesn't count as meeting her, you know, as when you tweeted her.
I know, but also, but because I have met her before in the past, at the very least, it makes me feel like, you know, my words have some validity, you know?
Okay. All right. I'm very comfortable where Nick is at, you guys. I think he may have healed beyond the point of usefulness to the Kevin and Bean show.
No, not yet. We're not there yet.
Really?
Not there yet. It's
I feel like
there.
We may be done with you. I feel like our work is done. You're an adult.
No, not yet. We're not like, I still need to make it professionally. I got to be big time. You obviously want to talk to me once I'm big time.
Well, yeah. I hope you will.
Yeah, but you won't do it. When you get big time, you're like, I don't know you guys.
You think Nick's going to cut us out?
Are you kidding me? What do you think?
I think Nick is a loyal guy, and I think Nick is going to remember that we were there when he was a nobody. And I think Nick, when he wins his Oscar, I think he's going to come on our show the next day to talk about it.
I'm not going to win an Oscar.
See what I mean? This is the new Nick,
look
you guys.
At that.
Oscars are for, like, political people.
Okay. Oscars are for political people.
Yeah.
All right.
Let it go, Kevin.
Okay. We're just going to let that go.
All right.
We'll leave it there.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad things are going so well for you, and you're in such a positive place, Nick, and I appreciate you filling us in on everything. Keep us posted, all right, man?
I will, then.
All right.
Later,
talk to you soon.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that's the most positive call we've ever had.
I liked it.
Crazy,
I liked it a lot.
We're done with them now, though, right?
Absolutely.
We're going to take your phone calls next for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to call on any topic, 1-800-520-1067. You could talk about the TV shows you're watching that we're not talking about. You could talk about sports, what you're doing this weekend. Anything that you have that you would like to talk about on the Kevin and Bean Show, you call now, and we will air your calls. In about 15 minutes, we're going to talk to Yella Van Dam, the captain of the LA Galaxy.
Why don't they ask you to play, Kevin? I feel like you're a big enough supporter. They should put you in.
I'm available. Certainly available.
So we'll talk to the captain and also give you some tickets to see Galaxy versus the Union tomorrow at StubHub Center. First, though, we're taking your calls on any topic. I don't think we've done this all week long, but we got room for it today at 1-800-520-1067. You got comments, you got questions, you got problems. It's time for Kevin Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Right, with Weenie Rose tickets going on sale to the public at noon today, let's talk to Victor. He's in Moreno Valley. Sounds like he's on line 8, and he already has his tickets.
All right, Victor, hi.
Hey, guys, what's good?
You tell us.
Nothing much. So, yeah, it's going to be my first Weenie Roast, so I was just wondering what should I be expecting?
Your first Weenie Roast. Wow.
Well, congratulations, first of all. You're going to have a great time. Here's what I'll tell you after many years of experience with the Weenie Roast. There are going to be bands that you don't think that you're going to like, and you're going to be amazed at how talented they are. That's my takeaway. Every time we do one of these shows, is somebody you think is just okay, then you see them live and you go, wow, they're really talented.
Wow. Can't wait then. Sounds
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a better show than you even think it is looking at it on paper because, you know, you go, oh, I know that song. Oh, yeah, I know that song. But then when you get there and you hear it and the crowd is – the place is so fired up and people are just having the best time. I mean, the Weenie Roast is a great, great day. You're really going to enjoy yourself, Victor.
It is odd, though, that you already have your tickets and I feel like we're having to sell it to you.
Well, he just doesn't know what to expect. He hasn't been to a show like
that. It's a great time.
Yeah. I would suggest hydrating.
Hydrate. Yes. Good. Good,
yes.
Allie. Thank you, Victor.
It's a long day. It's hot. Hydrate. Don't go too big too soon. You're going to wind up in the parking lot missing it. Hydrate.
It's good advice.
I like it. All right. Where are we going from here?
Well, Chip insists we take line 2 and talk to Aldo. He's in Santa Clarita.
But Chip doesn't make the call.
Yeah, I do.
Oh. Hey, Aldo.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on with you?
I just want to talk about Anaheim Ducks. Game 2 tonight. It's going to be a great game.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they came off, they're bouncing back off the game 1 loss. I think although they struggled, they still played well towards the end. I think Ryan Getzlaf is really going to turn up the heat tonight, and I think we're going to win game 2 tonight.
All right.
I got to tell you, yes, Chip?
I agree with him.
Okay. Chip got herself on the mic over there.
Yeah, I felt like she had some counterbalance here.
She's ready to hold court.
Chip is awesome because she's a fellow Ducks fan, and I appreciate it.
Right? I like Aldo. He's a good man.
See?
I like Chip, too.
Thanks, all right. Chip. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Hey, Aldo, aren't the playoffs great?
They're all so phenomenal. I mean, hockey's my favorite
and
sport.
Having a team that's in the playoffs, it's pretty good, right?
Well, yeah. That, too, is the best part. Those Kings fans.
All right, we get it. All right. We get it.
Thank you for the call. Thank you.
Have fun.
All right, let's try Rocco in Temple City. He's on line 3. This one's for Allie. See, we're really spreading it around here today.
All right. Hey, Rocco.
What's happening, guys?
What's all good?
Right, so I called in back when you guys were having the topic on TV shows that don't get enough credit. Mm-hmm. And I brought up Banshee. Oh, man, Kevin loves Banshee and me, too. So I'm telling you, dude, Kevin, you got to give Peaky Blinders a shot. Because I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, that's a stupid name. I don't want to watch that.
That's how you decide if you want to watch a show or not, is by the stupid name?
Well, I don't know. I'm like, how good could it be? It's called Peaky Blinders. Not that much thought went into it. But
well, then when you find out that it's actually the Peaky Blinders, that hat, and then it has blades in it, and that's how they would... Yeah.
First off, how is Kevin not sold right off the bat on that?
Here's why. Because I tried for 2 years to get him to watch it. I talked all Peaky Blinders all the time. And I think just because of that, he didn't want to watch it, which is absurd. Because it's the best show on television. Three series right now.
It's the best
absolutely.
Show on television?
To me, yes. Absolutely.
Pretty damn close, man. Look, dude, you liked Banshee, right?
Yes.
Banshee?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this is basically Banshee in early 1900s London. That's all.
And Kevin is all about the historical dramas.
Right?
Cillian Murphy, look, Tom Hardy, this next season coming up that they're shooting right now, Adrian Brody. It's
well,
so good.
That's why he doesn't want to watch
all
it,
right. Take it easy, Rocky. Or Rocco, whatever your name is.
Rocky.
Take it easy.
I don't feel like Rocco has gained any ground here with Kevin.
I don't get yelled at for so much.
Thank you for the call.
You should watch. Everybody.
All right, let's do one more, and I think this one's for me. This is Ryan in Orange. He's up next, line one, please.
All right. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Allie.
Hey. What's good?
Hey, so Bean, I need your death expertise. I was having a conversation with my wife the other day, and she mentioned that she would never in a million years speak at my funeral, and that she said that it was weird that I thought that close family members should speak at each other's funeral. Mm-hmm. And I know you've attended thousands of random funerals across this great nation of ours, so I was just wondering, you know, what's your experience? What's your opinion?
My experience is at most funerals, people close to the deceased get up and say a few words. Having said that,
a spouse?
A spouse is not uncommon.
Really?
Not uncommon.
That's
for a spouse.
Surprising.
But a lot of times, I would imagine, the spouse is too distraught to do it. It's too painful and too difficult, and you got to give your wife a pass if she chooses not to. I think that's allowed.
I guess, but I mean, who knows me better, right?
Right. But she likes you, she's going to be upset.
But you're dead is the thing. So it really, your opinion doesn't matter at all. I believe this very strongly, by the way, is that life is for the living. And when you die, they can bury you in the backyard. It doesn't make any difference to you. You're gone.
Ryan, here's the thing.
The funeral is for the people who are still alive and left behind. They need to do what makes them feel right.
I think that you should have Bean speak. I think Bean's going to go into business and he's going to be a featured speaker. And he's going to travel the country, and he could speak at your funeral, Ryan.
That's a great idea. I could be the guy for hire.
Right, the designated hitter. He comes in at the last second and just has a lot of great things to say about people he doesn't know.
I mean, why
because
not?
Who's more compassionate than Bean?
Right!
Ryan, I'm already writing down nice things to say about you, and I hope I get to use them soon. Thank you for the call, sir. What's good? Kevin, I assume you're going to be at StubHub Center tomorrow again like you do?
Yes, sir.
LA Galaxy playing the Philadelphia Union. Tickets are on sale now at LAGalaxy.com, or you can win some from the Kevin DeBean Show if you want to be our 10th caller at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 10 right now wins the tickets to see the game. Who's on the phone that we might also see on the field tomorrow?
That would be the Captain Yella Van Damme for the LA Galaxy.
Good morning.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I'm on my way to practice, so we have a live session this morning, and then prepare ourselves for the game tomorrow.
Tell me about becoming the captain this year. Was that a surprise to you?
Yes and no. I think I've been like taking over last season a few times when Robbie Keane wasn't playing or CVG. So but it's an honor. I mean, I've been a captain in my previous teams as well, but still, it's been an honor to be captain.
Do you get a close up parking space there at the stadium because you're captain? You get preferential treatment?
No, not at all.
He gets carried under the field by little children, though.
Oh, that's delightful.
That's pretty cool.
That is nice.
tell me about the season so far. Has not been terrific. It hasn't been a great start, but we have a new coach and you've got some new players. What is it like to try and get the chemistry going with new people?
I think it needs time, but at the end of the day, it's like you say, we have a new coach, we have new training staff. We have a few new players, so it takes time to fit them in and to get the team going. But it's we have to be... of course, we have to be positive, and I think we have to be realistic as well. And I think that now it's the moment we have to really start winning games. I know we play with a playoff system, but at the end, we are LA Galaxy. So if you see our records last year, I think we only lost two home games. I think this season we only have three or four, so that's way too much. So, we should be... Or we are one of the biggest team of the league, so I think it's up to us, the players, to step it up and starting from tomorrow.
What is it?
We've been trying.
I'm sorry. What is it like in the locker room? I mean, is it frustration? Is it anger? Is the coach mad? Is it what's the dynamic?
Sometimes there's a lot of frustration, but that's normal and that's a good thing, I think, because we all want to win games and we all want to do well. So yeah, frustrations, but I think it's a good thing. But at the end of the day, we all have to stick together. I think the dressing room is fine. Everybody's on the same line, and we all want the same thing. So it's up to us, the players, to step it up now and start winning games.
Tomorrow, LA Galaxy against the Philadelphia Union is also LA Kings night. The first 12,500 fans at the game will receive a free Los Angeles City of Champions scarf. The Iced crew will be there. Bailey will be there. It's going to be a kind of a mutual admiration society. And I hear some of the Kings are going to be playing for you guys. Is that true?
I don't know, man.
I mean, I think Jonathan Quick's a pretty good goalie.
Yeah, honestly, I've never been watching a game of the Kings, so it's on my to-do list. So I should do it pretty fast, I think.
We are talking to Yella Von Dahm here on the Kevin Bean Show, captain of the Los Angeles Galaxy on K-Rock. I wanted to ask, because the franchise has had so much success in the last few years, you probably can feel that in the crowd. I mean, the crowd at this point expects you to win when they show up. It's not the same as it would have been for players a few years ago, I bet, right?
No, but that's a good thing. Like I said before, we're one of the biggest teams. I think we won the most cups of the league. So that's pressure, but I think as a professional athlete, you need pressure to perform. And so that's only a good thing. I mean, most of the athletes, they perform even better under pressure. So I think pressure is good.
What was it like coming from, you were born in Belgium and you played all over the place. What was it like coming to Los Angeles and playing starting last year?
It was a big step for me. It was all new. Before I came to LA, the only time I've been in the USA was only like 10 days in New York and New Jersey as a holiday.
So, you thought the U.S. was New Jersey? That's not good.
No, I'm just saying like I had a holiday in New Jersey because I had some family over there, and we did like 5 days New Jersey, 5 days New York, and that was it. That was the only time I've been to the USA.
I gotcha.
So I've been playing all over the place in Europe. For sure, but USA was like it's the other side. So it was a big step. It was an adventure, and I took it. And honestly, I didn't regret it 1 second yet. So it's a good thing.
And you're doing really well.
Here, I feel good.
Doing really well. Yella Von Dahm, the captain of the Galaxy, playing the Philadelphia Union tomorrow night at 7:30. And again, the first 12,500 fans at the game will receive a free Los Angeles City of Champions scarf.
And you can go to LAGalaxy.com if you want to buy the tickets and see the game, that game or any other game later this season. We got our fingers crossed for a win tomorrow and a big improvement for the rest of the season. Yella, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
I feel like you're eating again.
I was trying.
I think that's what's happening.
I was trying desperately so that you didn't hear it, but I was unable.
Ralph is here almost, and it's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
He's here right now. There he is. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Ralph.
Kevin's eating.
Got some music?
Time for the Showbiz Beat.
There we go.
Here's Ralph Garman.
Billy Ray Cyrus is back, but he's changed his name. He wants everyone to know. He's reinvented himself. It's a brand new day. Billy Ray Cyrus has changed his name. He is now the artist formerly known as Billy Ray Cyrus. He is now going to be known by his new name. Moving forward from this moment on, he will be known only both as a recording artist and performer. He will go by the moniker. He'll have one name. One name only. Please refer to him when you talk about him as the name that he has now chosen for himself, which is Cyrus.
Yeah!
I thought with all my heart it was going to be Billy.
Yeah, I did too.
Cyrus. He is now Cyrus.
This is Miley Cyrus's dad, for those of you that don't know.
He's like a Madonna or a Prince. He's just a one-name legend.
Exactly.
Now.
The name goes Elvis. It just goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. You don't need the previous two names that went before that. All you need now is Cyrus.
How long has it been since he's had a hit, Bean?
25 years.
Okay, well he's
maybe the wrong guy to just have one name then.
He's got a new single, though. He's got a new song.
Okay.
He is releasing this week a brand new song. Cyrus is releasing his new music from his new album called Praying with Miley, Hanging with Willie.
Okay.
From the new album, his latest single.
Uh-huh.
Please play his new single from Cyrus.
Oh, you can tell my lips, tell my fingertips, they won't be reaching out for you no more.
But wait a minute.
Don't tell my heart. Yep.
This is it.
Just don't think it understand.
Yeah, brand new.
And if you tell
that's
my
new from Cyrus.
That's a remake of Aching Breaking Heart.
Cyrus released today the new song from Cyrus.
He had one hit.
He's moving forward.
And that song was it 25 years ago.
He's changed it all.
Now, he has had many, many, many hits on the country chart.
Oh, he has. Okay.
He never crossed back over to pop, but he's had 25 hits or something like that as a country artist.
I did not know that.
But I also don't understand why we need another version of Achy Breaky Heart 25 years
I mean,
later.
It is new from Cyrus.
Cyrus!
That's true. Last time it was Billy Ray Cyrus.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right.
This is from Cyrus.
Right.
Right.
He and the name of the album again?
Praying with Miley and Hanging with Willie.
Wow. I hope he means Nelson.
He says this version of the song is more true to its roots.
Is it?
Yes. The swampy Muscle Shoals sound is what he's going for there. It certainly sounds swampy.
Okay. That's an odd choice.
Cyrus.
On every level, yeah.
He
can
is
you,
Cyrus.
Can you change? Or you can tell my lips.
Yeah.
To tell my fingertips.
Yes.
They won't be reaching out for you no more.
No more.
But don't tell my heart.
If you ever wondered what Achy Breaky Heart would sound like after Billy Ray Cyrus had a mild stroke, then your answer has come to you today in the form of the new version.
Why do you guys think he's changing his name?
Oh,
who knows why anyone does it.
Drunk? Bored?
I don't know.
Stroke?
It seems like if you have an established name and you say he has 25 hits in that country charts, I don't know. Go with it. Stick with it.
But now he's Cyrus.
Right, I heard you.
I don't think you get it. Cyrus. Sad news in the music front. Gwen Stefani has ruptured her eardrum.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Which has forced her to cancel her scheduled Las Vegas performance.
That sucks. That sounds serious.
She was admitted to Cedars-Sinai Hospital after her eardrum ruptured, which happened on a flight on Tuesday.
Oh my God. Was it United?
Yes, they drug her eardrum off the flight to make room for a stewardess's eardrum.
But only an eardrum.
Yes.
I'm just saying, all these bad things that happen in airplanes seem to be United.
Wow, that's extreme. That's terrible.
Yeah, so she was supposed to be performing in Vegas this weekend, but she had to cancel her appearance at a charity event because of the injury, and she's being cared to. And from what I know, they heal, right? Eardrums heal?
I don't know anything about it, yeah. I hope so, too.
I feel like singers need to be able to hear. That's my input.
You got two, though. Okay. You got two ears.
Right.
Right? Look, Cyrus doesn't need ears, apparently. He doesn't need anything.
Yeah, there's no way he heard that before he released it.
That's right. You guys were talking to United. David Dow, Dr. Dow. He settled.
Is that the guy that got drugged
up? Yeah, Dr. David Dow. Just give me. Just give me. Just give me. Just give me. That guy.
Yeah.
He settled.
Four?
No one is saying the amount of the settlement. I'm guessing that was part of the deal.
Yeah.
Neither the airline nor Dr. Dow have announced the amount of the settlement, other than to say it was amicable.
They were both happy?
Everybody's happy.
That's great.
And everybody's happy.
Because they didn't seem happy at one point, so I'm glad they're all happy.
Next up is Thomas Dimitrio.
Dr. Dow's lawyer, who said that the woman who got into the fight with American Airlines over the stroller, they're also working things out with American now. So it looks like there's a way to make money from the airlines if you're just willing to throw a punch or two.
Do you guys see that as part of the attempt to get back in the public's favor, United has made all sorts of changes? As, for instance, they're not going to ever bump a passenger for an employee again, they say. Mm-hmm. But they raise the amount that they'll pay you now to $10,000.
See, that's what they should have done in the first place.
Absolutely.
I'll get off a plane for 10 grand.
Absolutely.
If everybody knows that, they're all just sitting there waiting.
Bump me.
10 grand, all their hands go up.
Yep. And then there's a fight because somebody was like, I'm first. Oh, I can't wait.
Right.
And this is showbiz news, not airline news, but I couldn't help but notice. There's a story out of Delta Airlines now. Did you hear about this guy, Kima Hamilton, on a flight from Atlanta to Milwaukee? He is sitting there, and they're in the holding position on the taxi, on the runway, waiting to take off, waiting for their turn.
Right.
And Kima Hamilton just can't hold it anymore. Has to go to the bathroom. Has to.
Okay.
So he gets up to go to the bathroom, and the flight attendant says, if you do that, the plane will lose its place in line. We won't be able to take off. You'll ruin it for everyone. Get back in your seat. He can't wait. He's got to go to the bathroom.
So he's going to ruin it more for everyone if he doesn't go to the bathroom.
He goes in the bathroom. Pilot turns the plane around.
Oh!
Parks at the gate. Everyone needs to disembark and then re-embark.
Why?
Without Kima Hamilton, who was thrown off the flight.
Why do they have to go through all that?
I don't know. Why do they have to do anything?
That doesn't make sense.
But now this guy's upset.
I wonder if it
quitters was... never give up.
That's right. Quitters never give up.
Don't forget that.
Don't ever forget that. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
I assume it was number two, yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Well, look, man, either way, you got to go, you got to go. Yeah,
right.
Sometimes number one's more pressing than number two.
Yeah.
Can be,
You can clench and just bear down in your seat.
Sure.
For number two. Number one, it's just... you're going to just be the Delta fountain, right? Who's with me?
Yeah.
I hope no one.
Yeah. That's why I always carry a Gatorade bottle with me, a wide mouth Gatorade bottle.
Is that right?
Why's it got to be wide mouth?
Because, Allie. I mean, you know, girth, right?
Got it.
So when you're sitting there in the seat, if you got to go, you just take care of business.
It's a lot of fun for your seatmate.
Say, avert your eyes, madam.
Yeah, it sucks for your seatmate, but...
Hand her a magazine.
But
say, read an article. Keep your eyes to yourself.
But your plane keeps its place in line.
That's right.
So that's important.
Look, everybody needs to make sacrifices.
Right.
Tonight, 10 p.m., do yourself a great favor and make your way to the Improv on Melrose.
No.
Because Kevin Smith and I are going to do our damnedest to entertain you. We're going to dance like monkeys.
No.
Will you dance to this song?
We will. It's Hollywood Babylon, laughter, singing, dancing, jokes, juggling, animal acts, you name it.
Juggle.
Oh, I juggle animals. Kitten juggling.
Now I'm in.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets for Hollywood Babylon tonight at 10 p.m.
The answer is no.
Oh, come on. Celebrity birthdays today. Jenna Ushkowitz. Glee is 31 years old today. Jessica Alba is 36. Penelope Cruz turns 43. Bridget Moynihan, 47 years old. Jay Leno is 67. And Jorge Garcia, our friend from Lost and now Hawaii Five-0, is 44 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow is the 25th anniversary of the start of the Los Angeles riots after the acquittal of the four police officers accused and then acquitted of beating up motorist Rodney King. And earlier today, we had in a couple of filmmakers, Academy Award-winning filmmakers Dan Lindsay and T.J. Martin, who have created an amazing documentary called L.A. 92. We want to give you a heads up again if you weren't with us earlier today. It's airing again Sunday night at 9 on the National Geographic Channel. Allie, you said it was the best documentary you think you've ever seen.
Absolutely.
It's that was real, guys. That happened in this city. That happened for reals. And we were reflecting this week as we knew the anniversary was coming up about this show, believe it or not, was already on the air back in 1992. And we had a guy who was working for us at that time named Brian Suits, who has since gone on to quite a radio career. We can hear him weekend nights, Saturdays and Sundays on KFI. He's got his own very popular podcast called Dark Secret Place. His name is Brian Suits. He was with us on the show back in those days and was also a member of the National Guard. So his recollection of what was going on during the riots may be a little bit different than ours was, because he was out on the streets in camouflage with a gun. Hey, Brian, welcome back to K-Rock, my friend. How are you?
I was out doing stuff for the city of L.A., not just playing the soup dragons and doing little comedy bits.
That is actually accurate. The Soup Dragons
is one of my favorite bands.
That's a good pull. So, Brian, 25 years ago, you were working on this show, and you were also in the National Guard at the time. And how did it come? Was this unusual for the National Guard to be pressed into service for a domestic event like this? You were used to doing other sorts of things as a guardsman, right?
I just got back from the Gulf War, and you know, Mr. TV hired me, and we still are trying to figure out what my job was at K-Rock. But I transferred to the California National Guard, and it is a National Guard mission to quell insurrection or civil unrest, and that. You know, the L.A. riots was that in a nutshell. So we actually do undergo training. It's just that no one takes the training seriously. It's like, yeah, right, I have a riot stick. I'm going to shove it up your butt. And so that morning, remember, I came to work in uniform, and I told you guys, I forgot to mention, I'm in the Army.
Yeah, and we thought you were kidding. We thought you were joking. Yeah. And he just left.
I took your heart out and showed it to you while it's still beating. And so... that's when K-Rock was in Burbank.
Yes.
So I had to rip up Hollywood Way to where my armory is, you know, up by the fries. And we had to do our refresher training. And then a bunch of us ran to a gun store. We bought our own ammo.
What?
because they took all day long for the state of California to get us our ammo. It had to fly down from Camp Roberts up in Paso Robles.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You had to go buy ammo.
Down to Tustin. By the time we got it at 11 p.m. that night, a bunch of us had, like, skived off and done a personal run to a place called B&B Guns, where LAPD got their guns for the North Hollywood shoot-up. Same gun store. But in 92, we went there and we bought ammo. We said, do you have anything in the 5.56 millimeter variety? And we emptied them out because the state of California only gave each one of us 15 live rounds. And like, for those of us who just got back from the Gulf War, it's like, look, I can't even get a bad attitude at 15 rounds. Are you serious?
Hey, Brian, how long, because I was thinking about the timeline of this as I was watching this wonderful documentary, and I hope you get a chance to check it out this Sunday night, but it seemed like it took a long time for the National Guard to be called out. Once the riot began and the looting and the cars being burned and the windows being smashed, I felt like the National Guard weren't there day one, were they?
The documentary is in my head, Dean.
All right, okay.
The deal was, you know, it took Governor Wilson, it took him writing the orders. You know, it was late afternoon on day one when when MPs showed up. The first units came out of Long Beach, I want to say. We got the call late that night to report at the Army the next morning. So it was like on day two. It was like mid-afternoon day two.
Okay.
And then most of our officers have had their heads right up their asses, too, because they had never done this before either. Most of them had never been in combat, and they were crapping.
Yeah, and there are scenes in the movie where there are crimes going on in every direction as far as the eye can see. People getting beat up, people throwing things through windows, and the police officers are just standing around watching it, and a lady comes up and starts screaming in a cop's face, and he says, "What do you want me to do, lady?" Was there a little bit of that kind of feeling in the Guard as well, which is this problem is too big for us to handle with the people we have?
Not when we went down there. When we went to the Crenshaw Mall in Baldwin Hills, LAPD, and I mean, I don't want to bag on LAPD about this, but they were in their station house. They were not leaving. And we set up and started doing patrols, and there were not cops out on the streets. And after a couple hours, they started joining us on the patrols. But my lasting impression was we showed up in a police-free environment.
I mean,
it was chaotic. It was really chaotic.
If you're standing there by yourself, though, as a cop, what is he supposed to do? There's way too many people. There's not enough force.
Yeah, no, that was the conundrum that they were in. And I remember in 2004, in the first firefight that I was in Baghdad, I said to one of my men, I said, you know what this feels like? The L.A. riots. Because it was a huge city. It was totally chaotic. And we were in charge and we had the guns. But that's what the L.A. riots felt like, was the cops had surrendered. And then it took a couple days for President Bush to actually call out the Insurrection Act.
and all that, because that's what the Guard is for, putting down insurrection.
Right.
And it was really hard to switch gears to, you know, oh my God, we're the law.
So the cops saw you guys driving by and they were like, yes, the cavalry's here. And you were like, we're going to get some bullets. We'll be back.
Yeah, we're off for donuts. Where do you suggest?
How were you guys received on the street? I mean, the police at that time, after the verdict, were looked at as the enemy by a bunch of citizens on the street. Were you more warmly received, or were you just guy in a uniform and a gun, so you were a bad guy too?
No, we were very warmly received. A lot of people were glad to see us. We had some gang members in my infantry company, and they weren't too happy to be seeing some of the guys that they were seeing. They didn't want to be seen in uniform.
Oh, interesting.
And then me, as you know, as a white dude, as Honky McGill, it was a little tense for me because I don't know, you were looked at as an occupying force in some ways, but the older people in the Crenshaw neighborhood, you know, knew that we represented law and order, and they were glad to see us. And you know what was really depressing was that they were glad to see us and not LAPD. If LAPD had been walking down the streets, they would have been seen as enemies and occupiers. But they saw us in U.S. Army uniforms as almost, you know, like a welcome occupation. It was weird.
Were you at any point in the chaos of those few days that you were out on the street able to get yourself a new TV?
No, but when I got back after 3 weeks of activation, when I went back to my apartment at 6300 North Lancashire in North Hollywood, it was gutted. My neighbors saw me leave in uniform, and they totally ripped everything in my apartment.
Oh my God! Yeah, they called us, Brian.
I know.
And we got us a TV, and it was yours.
No, it was gone, and I had this cool old Coca-Cola vending machine.
Oh, what a bummer.
Oh, did we just lose it? We lost Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, too bad. That, it's still hard to believe. You know, we were talking about this earlier when we were talking about the documentary. It's still hard to believe that was real. I mean, so often you hear people say it looked like a movie. It did. It didn't look real. It was so out of hand crazy, right?
Yeah, it was insane.
Well, the documentary is great. It's called LA 92. You can see it Sunday night on the Nat Geo channel. Our friend Brian Suits, unfortunately, we lost the connection there, but you can hear him Saturday and Sunday nights on AM 640 KFI, and his podcast is terrific, too, called The Dark Secret Place. You can get that on iTunes.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
I know we have a history of the show going off the rails on the last Showbiz Beat on Friday, but I feel good about today. I feel like we're firing on all cylinders, and we're strong, and we're focused. And this one's going to be great, you guys. So let's see how it goes. Here's Ralph.
Ah, that funny sound effect to play there. Would have been good if that machine had been turned up.
It is.
It was not.
That's it is not. Up.
It is now, I guess. No? There we go.
It was up. I'm saying it was up.
Wasn't up in the early part of this segment.
Didn't take us long for this show to devolve, did it? Forget everything I said.
Well, you cursed us.
How did I curse
you
us?
You said you felt it was going to go well.
I did.
You don't do that.
And then what happened next was out of my hands and in someone else's.
Meanwhile, back to the showbiz beat. Guess who's back? Back again.
Backstreet Boys?
Nope.
Okay.
Good guess.
Yep.
Remember a little song called Friday?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Rebecca Black was the name of that artist that we all know and love. She's got a brand new single that just dropped today. Brand new single.
Oh, this is exciting.
Called Foolish. It's an electro-pop jam, in her words. Electro-pop jam from Rebecca Black.
Now, I haven't heard this song yet, but I have heard other songs by Rebecca Black in recent years, and girl can sing.
Nope.
She has improved a lot since Friday.
No, she hasn't.
Well, like I said, I haven't heard this song, so
the production has just improved. She has not improved at all because they're using less and less of her voice in each recording that she releases.
Can I just interrupt for a second? What kind of deep dive are you doing on Rebecca Black? Because her music.
There have been videos of her on YouTube just singing songs, and her voice, I'm telling you, her voice has gotten better.
With your pants off.
No.
Right?
Not with my pants off at all.
Why don't you ever put pants on?
That is a good question.
Here's her new single, Foolish. You be the judge.
Hold me down,
interesting when she was awful. That song could be by anyone at all. What's on any radio station ever.
What's hot now? EDM? Let's try that.
It's boring crap. I'd rather have awful, like Friday was. It's Friday. At least she had that going for her. She stood out. That's just pap.
I mean, that is all production.
How would you know if she could sing or not?
Yeah.
I miss Friday. I miss.
Do you miss?
I miss a guy. Who was the guy? Remember the guy we were going to talk to? He used to do all those videos, like Chinese food and ABC and all that. That guy.
You miss this?
It's Friday. Yeah. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
At least that was awfully good.
But we don't have to like either, do we?
No.
Why? Because I don't like that one either.
But I'm just so tired of people saying, she's actually good. You should listen to her.
I mean, you can't tell from this song.
No, you
that's
can't.
What you're
can't
saying.
Tell from
no,
that song.
That
she's
song
awful.
Is, no one needs that
she's
song.
It's a nightmare. Right?
I agree with you she's there. No one needs that song.
Speaking of music, did you hear about Gwen Stefani ruptured an eardrum while on a flight on Tuesday? That's
a nightmare.
I mean, a lot of people.
How does it even happen?
A lot of people have
pressure builds
ear
up.
Pain. Yeah, a lot of people have problems with their ears on planes, but that extreme.
Was she in space? I mean, how high was she flying?
I don't have the info on that.
What happened? How does it happen?
I don't know.
Tell me how it happened.
I don't know.
I don't want to fly anymore if that's a potential outcome.
Oh.
Is it a thing that if you're sort of sick, it can make it worse?
It could be caused by loud sounds, a foreign object in the ear, head trauma, a middle ear infection, or rapid pressure changes from air travel. Hmm. Could be any of those things, but obviously the pressure change, maybe they went up and then wheeled low real fast.
That's a good description.
Thank you.
Anyway, she was supposed to perform at a charity event in Vegas this weekend, but she can't fly because doctors said, no, your eardrum's already honked up. I think that was the actual medical advice.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Tympanus honkus, I think it's called, is the actual syndrome. And, so she's out, but apparently she's recovering, and I guess she's expecting to make a full recovery, but still, it's terrifying. You know what probably happened? Blake Shelton.
Right?
Probably.
I don't think.
Right in the ear, yeah. Right?
Nope.
Don't you think?
Nope.
Yeah. What's happening? Why is there a mad scramble? Is this a bomb drill?
Nope. All
good. Do we know something?
Don't
is something happened?
Everything's
How
good.
How can I not worry about it? I got a little midget running around
it's
scurrying by my feet. You're looking through paperwork?
It's all good.
This is some sort of drill.
No, it's not.
I'm not aware. Some alarm went off, and I don't know what's happening.
If you didn't mention it, no one would know.
How could I not recognize? What are you talking about right now?
How great your showbiz is? And Rebecca Black can really sing.
Very distracting. I'm just saying it's very distracting. If you're not aware of that, then I don't know what to tell
Bean,
you.
Bean, how do you feel it's going so far now?
I was wrong again.
Yes. Sorry, Ralph. Back to you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jenna Ushkowitz is 31 years old today. Jessica Alba turns 36. Penelope Cruz is 43. Jorge Garcia. You know him from Lost and now
Jose, you mean? Jose Garcia.
That was Kevin's mistake.
Really? I heard that multiple times.
He was in the studio, if I recall correctly.
He sure was.
When I did that.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know him from Lost. It's Jose Garcia.
Yep.
And the poor guy had to sit here and go, Jorge. Had to correct the guy interviewing him his name.
Just once.
Nope. No.
If I recall correctly, and Bean, maybe you can help with this, I don't think he corrected me.
I believe he did.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah. Bean wasn't here.
Oh, okay.
He was on vacation, I believe, that day. Hmm. I was sitting in here when it happened.
All right. So that was a good memory?
Bridget Moynihan's 47 years old today. Rapper Two Shorts, 51. Jay Leno. He's 67 years old today. And insane clown posse rapper Violent J celebrates.
I'll tell you what. When a juggalo and a juggalo is someone who's down with the clown until they're dead in the ground.
Celebrates his 45th birthday.
Well
today.
Worth the wait.
Yep. Glad we built that around that.
What I love to think about this is it's a puzzle. And each of every one of us is an integral piece that puts a big picture. And once we're all together, it puts a big picture. And so it lets us to see the big picture. Yeah.
I love her.
I do too.
You two have a lot in common, actually.
She can see why you're loving her.
You guys should be a match on Tinder for Dinter, wherever people who speak like you go to find matches. I'm Ralph Garner. Walk the Showbiz Beat.
Take her out to SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win.
Here we go.
With
here
a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you Monday morning.
Swipe left on Dinter.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Quitters never give up.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kevin, you're right. You are right, as always.
Right?
Roll another one.
Dong.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, that's my girlfriend.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'd kill for her.
Whoa. And I need another hit.
Hang up, 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 hang up.
Roll.
Roll
another one.
That's not how you make America great.
Just like the other one.
Asshole. Excuse me.
This one seems to be about to end.
He looks like a pussy.
I don't have another cent.
3 years, it'll be 2020. So the roaring 20s will be back.
Wow, that sounds really terrible.
Just pass it around.
Dude, bro, dude.
But don't hold on that joint, my friend.
Val, you want to get high?
Yeah.
I just pass it.
Don't think I'll ever forget what happened here today. And you will pay.
We agreed to live here and suffer and be miserable in this godforsaken rat hole together. But that's a contract you and me made. You can't give up on that.
Thank you all for supporting science. I'm Bill Nye. See you next time.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Can you wrap it up? Mm-hmm. Amen.
I have to say it. Amen.
And I'll see you next week. Promise to be awake.
Quitters never give up.
This was a success.